Well, I want to thank the Lord for the privilege of being able to be here. It's a great privilege to be here. And I really pray that He may bless us today. And I also want to thank whoever did our room, our little place where we're staying so beautifully with all the chocolates and goodies and bedding and everything. It was beautifully done, and thank you very, very much. And to everybody who helped. Our subject for today is His yoke is easy. His yoke is easy. But if I'm absolutely honest, I'm going to talk about His yoke, His burden, and rest. Now, those three don't seem to go together. A yoke, which hems one in, which means we can't go where we want to go. Burdens, none of us welcome burdens. And yet, rest. They all go together. And I'm praying that the Lord will make it real in each one of our hearts. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Oh, Father, I ask Thee that Thou, in Thy mercy, will come in a special way and make Thy presence known to us. And, oh, Father, that Thou would reach our hearts. Lord, Thou dost know what is going on inside of our hearts. Nobody else knows. Nobody else can really see where we are. And therefore, we look to Thee, we call on Thee, Father, to reach our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I also want to say, if the babies make a noise, I'll just talk louder, so don't take them out. His yoke is easy. Matthew 11, 28 to 29 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Before we can talk about a yoke and about a burden and about rest, we know that the Lord Jesus starts with this great invitation. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor." Come. It's an invitation from the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of heaven and earth, a compassionate high priest. And He says, "Come." But I thought it would be interesting for us to see when that cry came out. What happened just before the Lord Jesus said, "Come unto me"? Now, at the beginning of the chapter, we find John in prison. And we all know why John was put in prison. John was faithful. He challenged the king, and he said to him he couldn't have his brother's wife. And because he was faithful in his witness, John ends up in prison. But what happens is John is in prison, and he stays in prison, and he hears about the Lord Jesus doing all these wonderful things, healing people, making the blind to see, the lame to walk. And he thinks, "But what about me? I'm in prison." He's the king. He's God on earth. And why isn't He rescuing me out of the prison? And so what does John do? He sends two of his disciples, and he sends them to say, "Are you really the Christ? Because if you are really the Christ, why should I still remain in this situation? Surely you would have delivered me by now." And what does the Lord Jesus answer? He says, "Tell John what I'm doing. But blessed is he that is not offended in me." Now, isn't that what we so often feel? We feel, how can an all-powerful God not have intervened in my situation? How could He not have rescued me and helped me in what I am going through? Surely if He is God, He could have prevented this. Why did He allow this to happen? We should not question God. God sees where we are. He understands our frustration and the anguish of our cry. And that's why among other things, the invitation says, come unto me, come unto me. But then the Lord Jesus balances everything and he tells us how wonderful John was. He tells the people, did you expect to see an ordinary person just like a reed? I mean, everybody sees a reed. Did you expect to see a reed? No, this was no ordinary person. He wasn't somebody walking around in soft raiment. This was the prophet. He was a great man, and yet he questioned God. So you see the compassion. God understood, and he challenges the people because they didn't listen to John. And then the next thing that comes before our scripture reading is a warning that God cries out to the people in the cities of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, who saw the Lord Jesus in bodily form, heard him speaking to them, but still rejected him. And the warning that comes to us before God calls us to come to him is, you are going to be answerable for all the light that you have been exposed to. He says, it will be worse for you than for Sodom and Gomorrah in the judgment day. And the Bible speaks of people, stripes and many stripes. The judgment will be worse and hell will be worse for us if we remember in hell how many times Christ called us to come unto him and how we rejected him. John 1 says, he lighteth every man that cometh into the world. But woe unto you and I if we bathe in the light of God and still reject him. And we are at a Christian camp. We have, many of us have Christian parents. We've been exposed to the church and to books with Christian doctrine. And one day God will say, what did you do with the light that I presented you with? But now after having said all this, we come to our scripture. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. As the Lord sadly deplored and warned those who rejected him, as he mourns over those who, like John, stumbled over him, so he cries out to us in our need. Many of us who are stumbling and under our burdens, who sigh for relief, and he says, come unto me. And that's what the Lord Jesus is saying to us this morning. But who does he call out to? He calls out to those who are heavy laden and burdened. It's as if they're sitting underneath an enormous load and they're just plodding on. They can't even look up because they are so burdened. And you know, the Bible shows us a picture of, in Isaiah 55, of people that are thirsting and endeavoring and working towards that which does not satisfy. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Then he says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. When I think of somebody with intense thirst that is never satisfied, I always think of the woman at the well. Every day at midday she came to get her water, but that water could not satisfy her. And that was a picture of her life. She had one husband after the other. It's as if she picked up the one husband, put him down, and then took the next one because she was never satisfied. That craving for love was never enough. Until she came to the living water that truly satisfied. And the only source of satisfaction for you and me is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I think of those who labor, I think of the religious people. Think of the scribes and Pharisees. They They fulfilled all the rules. They didn't do this and they did this. They added this and they took away that. But they were never satisfied because they were laboring for bread and not the living bread. If we embrace religion, if we do all the right things, but the Lord Jesus is not living inside of our hearts, we will never be satisfied. And life will just be a burden. It will be wearisome. Nicodemus had to come to the point where he admitted that he needed more than religion. What he labored for did not satisfy. The woman at the well had to admit that the sin she had fallen into could not satisfy herself. Five husbands, and one that wasn't a husband, wasn't enough. She needed the living water, reality. Which category do you fall into? Are you perhaps one of those who are religious and trying to please God, but you know you can never please Him, and you're despondent and you're burdened? Or are you perhaps blatantly and secretly following the devil and just trying to satisfy yourself with the things of the world? Nicodemus tried so hard to do right, and so we try to do hard. We might try to please our parents. We try to please the church. We try to fulfill the word, but it's heavy. We're heavy laden. It's a burden. We do not know the satisfaction that can only come with Christ. It is our feeble efforts that are like filthy rags in God's sight. And in our hearts, we know that. Now, in Love Wins, it's a book at home. I read about a great work that was done in Scotland. And there were many people that got saved. Now, the Scottish people are very religious. They grow up learning, in the olden days, learning the word. They memorize big portions of the word. And they really are very faithful in their church attendance and many things. And there was this whole community in Forfarshire in Scotland who were so religious. But suddenly God came, brought them under conviction of sin, and many got saved. But among the people who got saved, there was a man who these saved people were very burdened for. His name was Mr. Murray. Now, he was highly esteemed. He was respectable. He had been an office bearer in the church for 50 years. He was a professor of religion. And his daughters and sons knew our father is not saved. He's laboring, but he hasn't drunken the water that satisfied. He hasn't eaten the living bread. They knew from experience what it was to be religious without being converted, to be whitewashed with religion instead of being washed white with a sin-cleansing blood. And you know what they did? They just prayed and prayed and prayed that God would reveal Himself to them. And then one day the man picked up a tract. And this is what the tract says. The gospel brings us not a work to do, but a word to believe about a work done. And suddenly the light just opened. And the man, Mr. Murray, turned to his wife and he said, you know, I realize I have for 50 years been working at the keyhole, but the door was open all the time. So I could have walked in at the door, but instead of that, I was just battling and battling and laboring and trying to get any key to work but the Lord Jesus Christ. 50 years of church duties, 50 years of a position and influence, and it never passed through the door. Perhaps you're in a Christian home, but you're still heavy laden. Christ calls to you and he says, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Only Christ can satisfy God's demands for your life. Only he can give you rest, relief, deliverance from the condemnation of sin. And the door stands open and he says, come, come unto me. There's no other person that can help us. People turn to self-helps, to philosophy, to books, media, anything to get rid of their burdens. But the only person that can satisfy our need is the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 7:37, in that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." Laden with burdens, men sink in despair. Life is a struggle. They burdened with care, leaden the sky. As they cry out in vain, no one will answer and deaden our pain. Some seek to please God, but fail to find peace. Trying and trying, their efforts don't cease. Crushed by the knowledge, the task is too great. They dread life's journey, their ultimate fate. Though Christ had called out to all sunk in sin, though he had died their salvation to win, still they plod on, close their ears to his call. No joy or peace in existence at all. Then there are Christians who rail and complain against God's dealings again and again. Life is so dark, they have embraced despair. Their weary cry, "Surely God does not care." But there are others who lean on the Lord. He gave them strength and their courage restored. The way is still steep, but with help from above, his yoke is easy because of his love. How sad if, despite the fact that we know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we are still heavy laden. I don't know if you've ever, in a shopping center or at an airport, just turned around and looked at the faces of the people around you. And, you know, sometimes it might even be somebody sitting with a Bible, but they look miserable. They look sad. They drag through their day. And it's surprising to find this even in Christian circles. And it's because they haven't found the secret that makes his yoke easy and his burden light. The load has come with passing years. A prayer became a cry. Where'er I go, the burden's there, midst a depressing sigh. I smile, I laugh within the crowd. My burden's deep within. A heartache gnawing at my side, midst all the clamor, din. But someone knew and saw my pain. He tenderly stood by. He would not force his sympathy, but lingered ever nigh. One day when life seemed dark indeed and far too hard to bear, I chanced to hear his soft drawn sigh. Ah, when will you draw near? Child, let this load rest in my hand. It is too hard to bear. What wondrous joy when he did take my burdens in his care. The load is yet a heavy one, and yet my back is free. For Jesus came and took it up. He bears it now for me. He does not take the load away, but he bears it with us. Perhaps like Mr. Murray, we've been striving to get beyond the door, working at the keel, never gained the entrance. We're religious, but we haven't just stepped through by faith, while the door was open all the time. God says, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." Rest from the guilt of sin, the condemnation of God, striving to get God's approval. In the world we shall have turmoil, but with this forgiveness of sins, the burden lifted, when we are saved, we will find rest. But now the next verse to us as Christians contradicts the term rest, because God says, "Take my yoke upon you." Take my yoke upon you. And a yoke speaks of work, movement. Now, I want us first to realize God says, "Take my yoke upon you." You know, we can add yokes to our life, self-inflicted yokes, man-made yokes that make our life as a Christian a burden. One of the heaviest yokes are the yokes fellow Christians can place upon us. They are heavy. It's rules and demands that are not in Scripture. They add to the Scripture. And they add all sorts of things that we have to follow and we have to do, like the scribes and Pharisees. And they hamper our movement and our freedom in Christ. I remember, it reminds me of my mom. In this year, we've faced quite a few challenges. And one of those was to move my mom and dad from an enormous farmhouse into a tiny little cottage, a semi-detached cottage close to frail care. Now, my mom is somebody that doesn't like to throw away things. Even the clothes, she doesn't like to throw away things. So in her big, enormous bedroom in the farmhouse, she had a few wardrobes. She likes to change things and so on. And suddenly we had to go into one wardrobe about this size, and it was for my mom and my dad. So I tried to explain to my mom that we will have to get rid of quite a lot of stuff, and then we'll hang up this. This is what the rail can take, I said, and the rest I'll hang in the other room. So my mom said, no, that's fine, and, you know, so we did it. But while I was away in Cape Town, my mom and I were on their own. And then the one day they phoned me and they said, a terrible thing happened. The whole rail collapsed. So I said, well, how could the rail collapse? My dad says, well, mommy found out she needed some things in the other cupboard and she's been adding and adding and adding. And the rail could not handle it. And of course, it broke. So with us, we add things to our lives that are not necessary. Burdens other people place upon us. Burdens we place upon ourselves. And what happens? We crack up underneath it. Well, they were good for a while after the shock of seeing them, the rail collapse, but it wasn't long before it collapsed again. So they didn't learn. And so we too, sometimes we realize, well, this is wrong. I shouldn't have added this to my program. This was not what God asked of me. It wasn't his yoke. It was my own yoke. But it isn't long before we fall into the same trap. Child, are you laden with burdens that are not sent down by me? Crippled and failing, you struggle, losing your bright testimony? Roll out those burdens upon me. Seek to do only my will. Don't let unnecessary pressure your life overwhelmingly full. And the Lord asks us to take his yoke upon us. We can't carry two yokes. It just doesn't work. So whatever is on our shoulders has to come off. And in a sense, there's a surrender when I allow him to put his yoke upon me. Now, if his yoke is upon us, I have to move in the direction that the yoke goes. Is that not correct? When we put a yoke on the animals, between two animals, then the animal has to go in the direction that the yoke goes. So there is a submission to his will and to his direction when we take his yoke upon us. My yoke is easy, but then I have to submit to his yoke. Now, one of the most wonderful examples in the Bible is Joseph. Now, the yoke took Joseph where he certainly didn't want to go. Think of all the things that happened to Joseph. And yet Joseph saw that even though men had caused those things to happen, God meant it for good. And he rested under the yoke. Joseph was dragged into enemy territory. He was a slave in Potiphar's house. He was falsely accused. He was imprisoned, and he languished in prison. God left him there. And eventually, when he was released, he rose to power. But even though men thrust those yokes upon Joseph, he knew that God directed the direction of the yoke. God was directing him all the time. What is the yoke that God has placed upon you? Where has he led you in this year? Is it perhaps sickness that you didn't want? Opposition, criticism, financial challenges, your work circumstances, unfulfilled dreams? Oh Lord, I lost my confidence when sickness took a hold. I doubted thy omnipotence. Pain made my trust grow cold. I could not understand, dear Lord, why I should suffer so, as sensing my receding strength, my weak state laid me low. The women in the Bible times were healed, the blind could see, and thus it seemed so cruel, dear Lord, that thou didst not heal me. But then I seemed to hear thy voice, which said, Child, I love thee. My arms are underneath you, if you would only see. 'Twas love that chose your path of pain. It was the only way that I could draw you closer, embrace you every day. And thus I will not cast away my blessed confidence. One day, in God's own heaven, 'twill all make perfect sense. What is your burden? The slander of tongues, antagonism, hardship, loneliness? Romans 8, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. It is a yoke. A yoke, we cannot dispute that it is a yoke, but it is only easy if we submit to it, through all that lies ahead. His very yoke upon us means he is sending us to what he chose out for us and he allowed to happen to us. It is easy because he shares it. A yoke is between two animals. And the wonderful joy for a Christian is to know I don't carry the yoke on my own, but Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is beside me and he bears the burden for me and with me, alongside of me. We do not have to face anything in life on our own. He shares our burden. He carries our yoke with us and he faces everything with us. And my dad says he carries the heavier side. He's underneath the heavier side of the yoke. I see so many bending beneath a heavy load, so many whys and wherefores within their burdens stowed. But outstretched hands are waiting within each laden day. A whispering voice is pleading upon their burdened way. I'll change the whys and wherefores into God's will be done. My child, when they are lifted, 'tis half the battle won. The load is so much lighter, the path more smooth ahead, when God supports your burden, no more a weight of lead. Now, take is a verb, and the Lord Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Now, in Afrikaans, one of the famous Afrikaans poems is Die Vlakte, and it says, Die osse stap aan deur die stowwe, geduldig, gedienstig, gedwee. Now, what that means is the oxen are going through, but they are patient, willing, subservient, and submissive. Now, if we are not patient, willing, subservient and submissive under God's yoke, we will chafe against the yoke. And what will happen if an oxen is chafing against the yoke? He'll hurt himself. We need to be willing for what God allows to come across our path. If we pull to one side and say, not this way, Lord, we will hurt ourselves. We won't hurt him, we'll hurt ourselves. Never forget he bears the burden with us and he is going with us through it. Now, in this year, my father, first of all, we heard my father had cancer. Then we thought, well, we hope it's not too bad. And so they had an enormous operation and they took everything out. And then I had to go with my dad to hear if it had got further. So then it had got further. And then eventually my brother had to go with my father and they had to tell my father that there is no hope. Even chemotherapy or whatever, radiation will not help him. It is in his blood system. But the doctor, whose wife was saved, he was unsaved, he turned to my father and he said, "What do you say to all of this?" And my father said, "I am in God's hands." I am in God's hands. And that is the same as saying, I submit myself under the yoke that he has placed on my shoulders. I am in God's hands. And then my dad said this. He said, life leads to the end. And the yoke that he places upon us, if we submit under it, will lead us to the portals of heaven. We have to realize the final goal, where we are heading. Your yoke may be very difficult home circumstances. You might have an explosive husband or a reactive and demanding husband. Your children may be against you. The church members might be against you. Your parents, who should be your guiding lights, may perhaps be your stumbling blocks across your path. Perhaps you're still single, in the home, unclaimed. And the road did not lead to marriage as you thought at this stage. And you feel put aside. Perhaps in the workplace, that is, you know, you just don't want to be in this certain situation of work. And you labor under your burdens and you chafe against the burdens and you're not submissive to the yoke that has been placed upon your shoulders. If you do not bend under it submissively, if you do not embrace it, it will not be easy. The Lord said, take my yoke upon you. It is something we must do. It is something we must be willing for. We must accept it. And then only will we find it easy. And never forget, he bears it with us. No one understands, dear Lord, my heaviness of soul, the sickness that has crippled me, my yearning for console. No one understands, dear Lord, my loneliness, despair. As I battle private woes, not a sign of care. No one understands, dear Lord, what I crave fulfilled. Human comfort has not once my great heartache stilled. No one understands but thee, comforter and friend. Ah, what bliss to find at last thou dost comprehend. Thus thy understanding makes my burden light. For what thou appointest, I know must be right. God asks us to bring our burdens to him. Before we bring our burdens to him, we will not find his yoke easy. In 1 Peter 5, 7, cast our care upon him. We have to cast our burden, the heartache, the longing, the cry, the prayers, even the unsaved loved ones, we have to cast it upon him and allow him to bear it with us. You know, there's some people that have burdens and they love to take their burdens off and look at the burdens. Marvel at the size of the burdens. Talk about the burdens. Discuss the burdens. Share it with others. But that is not what Christ asks us to do. What does he say we must do? We must cast them upon him, and he will bear them for us. It is sad if we remain weak and heavy laden despite the rest that Christ offers us. You know, if a lot of people are walking in a crowd and each of them are carrying a burden, what happens? We'll knock other people and we'll hurt other people if we're all laden with burdens. Now, if we as Christians walk around with our heavy burdens and we just won't allow the Lord to carry them with us and we won't have joy, then we're going to hurt other people and mar our testimony and jostle people and discourage other people. The Lord said we must learn from him. He says, and learn from me. My meat, the Lord Jesus said, is to do the will of him that sent me. Our compassionate high priest will gladly accept our burdens. And he says, come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The greatest burden man can bear is sin, its weight untold. But Christ has died upon the cross to bring man to his fold. He cries, "Come hardened sinner, my blood is there for you. I'll take the burden off your back, your heart and soul renew. Why labor after food and drink that cannot satisfy? Your thirst remains not filled at all, no matter how you try. 'Tis only I that have the right to forgive any man, for on the cross God satisfied with his redemption plan. But then, dear child, take up my yoke, submissive to my will. Though it may lead to sorrows, your life with burdens full, with my yoke there to guide you, you'll find my burdens light, as underneath its leading you'll do what I think right. Take it and all it may hold with joy, yes, willingly, because you know I'm sharing the weight of it with thee." I think today God also asks each one of us who are Christians to consciously take his yoke upon us, to consciously in a moment to quieten our hearts and to say, "Lord, thy will be done. Whatever it is, I am going to take thy yoke upon me." Just as the oxen had to stand still while they were fitted with a yoke, so we need to quieten our hearts and let God have his way with our lives, to put on the yoke and to remain willing for the yoke to rest upon our shoulders. Because, you know, we can make a full surrender to God and say, "Lord, thy will be done." But then further temptations come along the way and suddenly we get out from under his yoke. I remember I was saved as a little girl of about 7. Then when I was at high school, the decision had to come, am I going to follow God at boarding school where my parents can't see me? And there I had to bend under the yoke. Then when I got to matric, the final year of school, then I had to say, well, I want to teach, I want to do this. Am I going to bend to where God calls me? And so continually, in fact, every day, we need to be submissive under the yoke. I bow and say, put on thy yoke according to thy will. I'll go wherever thou dost bid, with joy my path fulfill. I do not ask to see ahead. I cannot raise my head. For while beneath thy yoke we can but see one step ahead. Although it be the mountain crags, the storms or valleys deep, I'll just plod on beneath thy yoke, knowing I'm in thy keep. 'Tis only then I'll learn what thou ordained in love for me, submissive and compliant to what was sent by thee. Therefore I bow and say, dear Lord, put on thy yoke today. Willing, I'll carry all its weight within the narrow way. Amen.